Hello and welcome to We the People. Tonight we'd like to talk about something that is all-encompassing in our lives, that is ubiquitous, that is a wonder substance that can never be destroyed. I'm talking about the scourge of plastics. Can we live without plastic? Now, plastic has revolutionized convenience, it's revolutionized life as we know it. It plays a critical role in all technological advancements that we've seen in this century, whether it's replacement heart valves, whether it's computers. Yet at the same time, they are now threatening our animal life, our marine life, and human life. Plastics are durable, they're lightweight, they're waterproof, they're easy to produce, they're cheap, and they're non-biodegradable. And there's mountains of it that's choking our drains and our streets. Now, according to the World Economic Forum, by 2050, our oceans will have more plastics than it will have fish. Now, India this week committed to banning all single-use plastics by 2022. Is this realistic, or are these just stalled promises that cannot be implemented? On the show tonight, we have Bittu Sehgal, environmental activist and writer. He's also the founding editor of Sanctuary Asia. We have Siddharth Singh, who is the chairman of the Jute Foundation, a former IAS officer also. Vineet Goenka, member of the BJP. Tikinder Panwar, former deputy mayor of Shimla. He's a member of the CPIM. Mr. Lal Singh, who is the LK Singh, who is the Vice President North of the All India Plastic Manufacturing Association. Sean Van Weck, he is the Senior Marketing Director of Adidas India. And Rukmini Shekhar, writer, filmmaker, one of the litigants who filed the case in the Supreme Court, asking for a complete ban on plastic bags. And Sonia Henham, Deputy Program Manager of Waste Management for the Center for Science and Environment. Bittu Sehgal, I want to start with you first. Bittu, how serious really is this problem? This week, anybody who has a social media account or who is even remotely interested in world news would be aware, would have seen those images of that poor whale struggling for its life. It died a painful, protracted death with some 8 kgs of plastic discovered in its stomach. Is this an alarm bell?
Yeah, it's an alarm bell. I mean, it's the equivalent of the canary in a coal mine. What's happening to the whales today is already happening to human beings. And yes, what you see before you, you know, the litter that you see on the beaches or the plastic that you pull out of whales, that's just one part of the whole story. It's the impact of plastics that nobody can see, nobody can smell, that really is the problem. I mean, when you take something, one single plastic called PVC, polyvinyl chloride, you burn that and you put out dioxins and furans, and that interferes with your endocrine system, and that causes all manner of miseries, including cancers, genetic defects, endocrine disruption. That means your immune system gets affected. These are all the things that are not told to us, you know. And frankly, I should know more about plastics than most people, because I started my life at the age of 17 selling large plastic buckets for the chemical industry. I was just out of school. I know the inside story, and it's very scary.
But Bittu, if I can play devil's advocate, why has India been picked to play host this year to this international movement to ban single-use plastics, right? We're not even the worst offenders. According to some reports, Indians on an average use one-tenth of the amount of plastic than an average American does.
It's not a question of how much you use. You know, if you go to the European Union, or let's say there's something called the Basel Convention that took place, which said you cannot export toxic material to a country that doesn't have the capacity to deal with it. Now, in those days, if you walked across any one of the streets in Hamburg or Bonn or something like this in Germany, you'd have all these different colored bins. You'd put plastic here, you'd put glass here, you'd put this. Now, all the other stuff would handle, but the PVC, polyvinyl chloride, was exported to India, where we were turning it into hardcore toxic material. And that's one of the contributive factors for why the cancer rates in India have gone up. 40 years ago, they were less. It's these things, it's these little drops in the toxic ocean that affect not just the fish. And quite frankly, I don't understand why we're not skipping all this, because we know it. It's there in the science. It's there for us to see. I mean, They first sent the PVC to us, and when we couldn't handle it, they sent incinerators to us. While incinerators were banned in Europe, why? We should be an intelligent nation. We should ask why.
Okay, we should ask why. Vineet, come in over here. You know, because the UN has feted India, actually. And the UN environment chief actually says that we have shown global leadership because Prime Minister Modi has promised to make us single-use plastic free by 2022. Is this just the government's, you know, blowing hot air? Is this a promise that they really cannot make?
I think the Prime Minister Modi is very serious about this. And today's environment, we don't have to wait to become one of the largest user of plastics. Rather, we should start right now and start teaching our kids and ourselves not to use that. And I think that statement which he made on the Twitter that day, in the urge of prosperity, you know, we should not degrade our environments and give something to the next generation. He's serious about that. And there are 18 states, I'm very proud, 18 states have already banned plastic, single-use plastics.
But we still have access to plastics. Why the does first the PM step, say I think we're going to ban it across in, the country? Like
governance.
You said, 18 states have completely banned. I think it's 17. 25 states have some sort of a partial ban, but we can all admit that this is probably the worst enforced ban in the country because you can get plastics anywhere you want anytime.
Why I'm very optimistic, I'll tell you.
So why do you believe the PM when he says that we're going to be successful in 2022?
Before the show, I was sitting in the green room with a couple of the guests and somebody said that it is the political will which was lacking. And I think the first step of a political will is where you start making laws about it. So you say that, yes, I'm conscious. We are aware of this, we have been sensitized and we would like to make a law.
But we have
the
a
second
law,
one is
banned.
The now is minimum. And the second one is to implement that. And see, there are not only plastic ban laws, but if you see the regime, current regime is promoting alternate to plastic. So for example, removing bamboo from the tree plantation. So now it has been used, it will be used for other purposes, promoting jute as far as there. So these kind of things will help plastic. So earlier we were talking about just banning plastic, but then what's the alternate? So this time I think probably the regime has shown that they're serious by removing bamboo from the tree act, the forest act. So now these kind of supplementary steps which are there. The second step is where the Prime Minister from the podium says that I am serious about it. I think that makes all the citizens conscious about this. So till now it was only the activists who were talking about this. These were only citizens who were aware citizens who were talking about it. Now this is the first time a Prime Minister has talked about this and so seriously. So I think the nation is going in the right direction.
But we have, most states haven't even implemented that plastic waste management rules of 2011. And most states now are BJP ruled states.
Yeah, one of the state, I'll tell you, one of the case in Maharashtra, when the state banned it, somebody went against that to High Court and High Court said, stay. So now there are this kind of things which we'll have to understand. Maharashtra was very serious about it, but the High Court came in between saying, we'll give 3 months extension before you completely ban it. But there are also other examples which I would like to cite in this example. There is one gentleman called Gopal Zaveri in Mumbai. I used to stay in Mumbai in Raichas and there. They proactively, these people came out, and there is a river called as Dahisa River next to the national park there. They just went on there one Sunday, collected plastic there, and out of the plastic, they made plastic bench for the Sanjay Gandhi National Park. Now, this movement, this kind of things don't require law. This is just an awareness created by the citizens there. I think these kind of things are something which can help us out.
No, awareness, what is the government's responsibility? Is it
it's
just
to promote
awareness amongst public?
First to make law and then to enforce that. But when you enforce law, you should not hurt the people. But when you take the people along, I think that's better law than telling them.
I think that's the crux of what you're saying. How could you enforce a law that is going to hurt the people? Mr. Singh, is this going to hurt the people?
Yes, it's going to make a difference. But I would like to add here, first of all, please understand that the scrap imports have been banned in India for a long time. They're still banned today. No import comes in from outside. There is coming, there is very little, and that is classified. Secondly, regarding the ban we have done without thinking, I would also like to note just a few things. Aluminium uses 25 times the energy, steel uses 5 times, glass uses 3 times. We are going to use the ground. Amount of CO2 we'll generate will be many, many more times than what the plastics is. So we're not saying you don't ban it, but you ban it with a plan, with a thought, with the arrangements. What is the industry going to do? What are the alternates available to the people? You cannot just stop. People will buy. People will use plastics, even bags or whatever. But you have to have a good solution, alternates, and then do it over a phased manner. Not
Mr. Goenka, Mr. Singh is saying this is a not well thought out ban because the Prime Minister has also promised there's going to be economic growth. There's going to be more employment. There's four million people supposedly employed by the plastic industry in India, which is also the fastest growing, one of the fastest growing industries.
See, I'm aware that 17% increment in the export happened last year, right? That contributes to the foreign exchange. Also, there are 40 lakh people who are working directly in the plastic industry. Now, what? See, the alternates been given. I'm happy that in Indian Railways, they have introduced cups made out of sugarcane waste. Now, they are diabetic. There are people who are selling in eateries. There are eatable stands cutleries, where you can actually achieve the cutlery after the use of that. So this kind of innovative ideas are coming up.
Thank God.
The alternate which has been provided by the Prime Minister is that he did not say from tomorrow. It was a thought over 22. So we still have 4 years. Then in today's time, the investment in R&D will help us out to find out alternates. And plastic ban or single use. So there are other things that you need. So for example, water tank which is needed. It will be of plastic. So we are not banning plastic in toto, right? But what we are talking about is rationalization of this wasteful, unthoughtful water. Now somebody talked about flowers which come in their house in the morning. Now they are kept in plastic. Can we have an alternate to it? So these kind of thoughts will start talking about only when the Prime Minister talks about serious implementation of the laws. So there can be alternates.
Yeah,
and if you just segregate,
Mr.
what Panwar, is the...
Mr. Come in here. Himachal Pradesh was the first state to have a complete ban on the use of plastic bags and packets. Yeah. And it is a complete joke because I think in Chandigarh, they've showed the Chandigarh every day has what, 6 tons of plastic waste coming in just from Shimla.
Well,
so do these bans work on the ground?
Yeah, it does. Well, it does. Definitely, it does. But before,
it hasn't worked in Shimla.
Before working on the alternates, I think what sir was also saying, the situation is really precarious because 83% of the water already contains plastic remains. I mean, at the micro level. So let us really rise now. That's number one. Number two, what plastic, it's not just the plastic waste that comes from Shimla. I think this is some misquoted data. There's a complete ban. You won't find a polythene ban there. And this journey started from 1995 in Shimla. Of course, there were hiccups. There were problems in that because there was a partial ban. So I very strongly support a complete ban.
Anyone been
ban,
to Shimla recently?
A complete
I
ban.
Haven't.
They will not find a polythene bag, let me tell you that.
You're saying that...
So the strategy of the government was sale, supply and even store. So three S's were completely, and you see the enforcement was so strong, right from the police to the pollution control board and even my municipal corporation employees. They were just, and they've collected lakhs out of that. So now what you'll find is plastic coming in the form of milk packets, plastic in the form of some other forms, which the city doesn't really, I mean, can't do beyond a limit. And I also remember this happened in 2013, the final ban, but the Supreme Court intervened, and then eventually we got 2014 mandate from the Supreme Court. But we were also going ahead with banning your water bottles, complete water bottles. And then, you know, this whole lobby that exists in the country, they didn't allow that to happen. So I think Shimla, you must understand, the waste that comes to Chandigarh is plastic, but not those polythene bans. And colored, you won't find colored polythene. For that matter, even the transparent polythene, you will not find that at all in Shimla. So enforcement is the key.
Bittu?
Sorry?
Bittu, would you like to respond here? Mr. Tikinder points out that, you know, a lot of the plastic is those milk packets. We do need plastic for everyday use, right? Products like milk, food, just more hygienic, that can last, it'll have a longer shelf life.
No, we do not. Plastic. I mean, I don't support that. The point is because the milk it comes from Punjab, from Haryana. So the city, or for that matter, the state really can't do much beyond a scope. But then I think the strategy has to be very comprehensive, because I remember in my childhood days, we used to get water, we used to get milk in those glass bottles, and even tinned. I mean, milk used to come tinned from Amritsar. Mm. So we can go back to that place. But I think there has to be a comprehensive strategy in a very holistic manner that the I think stages are to be set.
Victor Sehgal, respond to what you've heard so far.
Look, my response is actually quite straightforward. I agree nothing can be done in an instant like a guillotine, but this is not an instant. We've been talking about this for 2.5 decades. This is not as though it was last week discovered that there's too much plastic and it's toxic, etc. And you must understand something, that sometimes when people say, oh, this is not a problem, that's not a problem, you take water bottles. The moment you heat plastic, some of the plasticizers, they enter into the water that you're drinking. You think you're drinking it safe, you're not. It's actually a very dangerous situation. People like us actually sat down and wrote, say, the medical waste rules for India, something like 15, 18, 20 years ago. And we had recommended autoclaving as being the primary method, but the plastic industry lobbied and got it changed into disposable syringes. Now you go behind any major hospital and find out, why are people collecting disposable syringes? They're washing them, they're cleaning them, they're repacking them, and they're coming back. And I can promise you the same thing is happening with... It's not just a lobby. It's the decision makers who have, starting from the petroleum, from the refineries, they won't stop the tap. And they want the consumer to somehow magically solve the problem.
Yes.
But your drinking water bottles, if you go into the toilets of some of the railway stations, you'll find the empty bottles being filled and recapped and sealed. Now, I mean, where's the hygiene? What are we talking about?
If I could just ask a question at a micro level,
because Shimla has been a shining example for the simple reason, I mean, how do you really categorize or how do you really find complete ban on polythene? Because this is what we were able to do. This ban exists in Delhi, but you find all multicolored polythene bags in Delhi. You won't find that in Shimla. Is that not an eye-opener that if there is enforcement, something can be done?
I'm not sure. I unfortunately can't verify this right now, but I do know that our reporter has been in Shimla last week, and she has reported that there's been wide use of plastics, which also comes in from
outside.
A lot of the tourists. Yes, but Shimla is
the economy is based on tourism,
yeah, right?
That is something beyond the capacity of the city. But they are fine. The point is, they are fine. They are being dissuaded. They are being dissuaded not to bring that plastic into the city.
So that's like your industry would be the first to celebrate if there was a complete ban on plastics, because you would tend to gain from that. Where do you stand on this?
Now, there's not a question of gaining from it. You see, today we produce about more than two-thirds of raw jute and jute products in the world. So if there is going to be a comprehensive ban on the use of plastics, especially the single-use plastic, you know, in the form of the shopping bags, then I think we owe it to the world to provide a viable, green, environment-friendly alternative to plastic. And I think that's where the industry, I think, should gear itself to. You know, we have been so far producing only gunny bags, you know, which are used basically for food procurement exercise of the government. That's also needed. But we are not realizing the full importance or the full value.
Prevented you from doing this on your own? What has prevented you from doing this on your own industry? Why do you need to wait for a ban to come into place?
First, let me clarify.
That?
I don't come from the jute industry. I happen to be the chairman of Jute Foundation, which we have just launched on the day of the World Environment Day. And we are saying that this is only one of the aspects that we are going to address, and which is providing an alternative to plastic in the form of bags. Now, today, you need a lot of R&D to go into it. Hmm. Right now, the kind of bags that we make are not, you know, not everybody can take it to the supermarket. But let me share it with you. There are a number of companies who have been supplying jute bags as shopping bags to very important departmental stores in US, in Europe, and in Tokyo. They are going from Calcutta.
What about back home here in India, where we need it
but
the most?
That's the thing. You know, you have to have awareness, one thing, and you have to have the legislation. You know, it's not an either-or situation. If you ban plastic, you've got to have some alternative. So you have natural fiber, jute is one. You have paper.
And how expensive are these bamboo products?
Sorry?
How expensive are these? Because the advantage of plastic is that it's cheaper.
It's absolutely, but that you can use only once. Whereas a jute bag you can use again and again. Then if you take, you know, in manufacturing, the manufacturing of jute bag is much less, you know, harmful to the environment. You know, in terms of the marine toxicity.
Convincing a poor person that they should be spending more money on a jute bag. Let's get some reactions. When Sir says here, Mr. Singh says that, you know, jute bags you can reuse again. Do you think a poor person could be convinced by the fact that you can?
Absolutely not, because a poor person, for him the easiest available material is plastic. He will go to a shop, he'll buy a shampoo sachet, he will buy milk products, he'll buy soap, and the easiest thing available, the cheapest thing available to him is plastic. He will not think of buying a 250 or a 200 rupees jute bag. For him, rupees 200 means the entire grocery of the entire week.
I think this also deserves to bring in the consciousness. Once you have a strong enforcement, take for example, again come back to Shimla. Shimla will provide, Shimla, you won't find polythene bags. So there, this consciousness is developed amongst the citizens that you will carry your bag always to the market.
Are we dismissing the fact that it has a plastic is a luxury for the rich, but if you're economically not well off, then it's
then you have paper bags. You buy vegetables in paper bags.
So you're telling me a chaiwala at a railway station,
and there's this whole
will invest
cottage,
in making
a small industry that has developed.
So a chaiwala at a railway station will spend money out of his own pocket to buy kullards instead of those single-use plastic cups for how much ever tea costs, 5 rupees. So he'll spend money on...
See, he'll not do that.
The point is...
There is something called a stall, you know, the technology, awareness, legislation and learning. What you can do is you can put in a lot of R&D in technology here so that it becomes competitive to plastic. To create awareness by this kind of programs, some classrooms and legislation, as you said. And then there can be some subsidies or incentives, or there can be some promotional aspects. So the government can provide some subsidy to the manufacturer so that he need not have investment been costly. So this kind of things can be done. So it can be done through various tall features, technology, awareness, legislation and learning. So four can come together and we can
one model, because I am discussing a model of Simla, because this is what we have done with this strategy. Just tell me one model where it has succeeded. That is my point. Because you have to build those micro models of development. I am not saying that we have completely thrown off our plastic from the city, because milk still comes there. But we have been able to do something. At least acknowledge that. That is the point. And without enforcement, without a complete ban, this cannot happen. That is my strong
point. I would like to add here, the advantage of plastics, it came into being because of the advantage of CO2. All other materials create 7 times more CO2, so much damage to the environment. Alternate materials to plastics cost increase the cost by 5 times of the packaging, 2 times the volume, 4 times in packaging weight. All these are going to cost indirectly or directly to the user. And they came in because of the damage to the environment, plastic gives the advantage. This is what we have to appreciate. And all the problems, if you like, look at, the root cause is the handling, segregation, the management.
Correct.
All plastics can be recycled. There is no plastic that cannot be recycled. We can recycle each and every one of them. You recycle or segregate the plastic, give it to us. Our industry
totally
will buy it. We'll pay for
that
it.
Statement.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
We are buying.
Go ahead.
We are doing six million tons
it's
of
like
processing.
The plastic industry. Please understand. The plastic industry continually says it's recyclable. It's not recyclable, it's downcyclable. Yeah. After 4 or 5 recycles, or maybe the 5th or the 6th, it's into the landfill or it's into the sea.
Yeah.
But say,
yes.
They're doing 6
more
million
than,
tons,
more than
Germany
that.
Is doing 99% of recycling.
So and they I don't care how much Germany is doing.
Can
I'm interested to know.
85%.
Can I interject? I'm interested to know.
Yes,
let
Bittu
finish.
If I may, finish that sentence.
Let Bittu go ahead.
Sir, I have served the city.
I can go ahead, provided the gentleman allows me to go ahead. I'm saying to you very simply this, that we should not actually be arguing and fighting.
Exactly.
Even Darwin said it's not the strongest or the most intelligent that will survive, it's the most adaptable. Now at one time we thought we were adapting and using plastic, now we have to adapt and unuse plastic.
That is very
now
simple.
If the plastic industry doesn't wake up soon, at some point or the other, the investors in that industry will be wiped out. So I'm telling you there is an option to plastics. And some of it will look like plastic. If you use
cellulose-based
plastic,
yeah,
for instance,
yeah.
It's more expensive now. But the fact is that it's only more expensive to make or to buy. But the cost of the health costs, the cost to us in terms of the damage to the oceans, all those are externalized costs.
Yeah. So those
now
are the prices, the
cost
that
we
have
to factor in. To understand.
If you but
I
want
to
get Rukmini in.
Fair
to
the plastic side. After the fourth time, I think Mr. Gadkari provided.
I'll close my point by just saying, the policymakers know this, the lobbyists know this.
Yeah.
They are no longer in denial. Their business is now delay. They want to carry on doing business as usual as long as they possibly can. And I think that's bad for India, that's bad for the Indian people, and it's bad for the climate. Anybody who suggests that we should be using petroleum-based materials to solve a climate problem, I think needs to go back to the drawing board.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Rukmini, you've asked for a complete ban, but here you have people on the panel saying that there's no need for a ban. It can be recycled. It can be reused.
We went to court in 2012 asking for a ban on plastic bags via an animal rights issue.
Hmm.
We filed a case called the plastic cow case, and this was based on the amount of plastics, plastic bags, our focus was mainly the plastic carry bag that was going into the cow's belly. Yeah. And not just cows, all manner of animals, deer, goats, pigs, elephants. Elephants are now being seen with plastic bags because there are resorts edging the wildlife forest areas. They are throwing out their garbage. Elephant stomachs are full of plastic. Mm. Cows, coming back to cows. I saw a ruminotomy. A ruminotomy is where you remove plastic or whatever is in the rumen of a cow. The rumen is the first belly of a cow. And I saw 54 kilograms of plastic come out from a cow. Yeah. And this is what our cows are eating. You can be sure that every cow on the road has at least 20 kilograms of plastic in its stomach. It's not eating tin or asbestos. It's eating plastic carry bags. True. Right?
And via them, we are getting plastics in our own body, in our own systems, whether it's through seafood or whether it's through
83%
meat. So let me come back to the case.
83%.
So in the case, what we did was, the court unfortunately gave us a very disappointing and wishy-washy order, where it asked us to monitor the multitudinous agencies in the country and to create committees. Now, we cannot do that. So what we did was, we went to the Ministry of Forests and Environment, we met the secretary, we handed over the court order, and we said, this is what the court has asked the apex body to do, right? The apex body has unfortunately done nothing, because we are still where we are. Completely unimplemented, zero implementation. Our animals are still, this whale has become very famous. But what about our cow, which we profess to love so much and care so much? It's not only about slaughter. It's not only about eating.
Absolutely.
What about the, and the toxins that leach into the cow?
Yes.
The cow can't speak. It's just lying there, you know, with this misery in its belly. And just dies. It just dies a terrible, miserable death. And this is happening to, of course, you know the marine life issues. You know the, you see, this is a problem, Sarah, that is closely linked with garbage disposal.
Yes.
Right? We, as householders in India, we welcome plastic bags. We want more and more plastic bags because we can throw out our garbage in it. Right? So we want, our vendors are happy to give it to us. You buy, this morning I went to buy lychees and the fellow just whipped out two bags. And he said, ma'am, ye to piche se band kar dijiye.
And we have a ban in Delhi.
We have 25 states. 25 states have banned it. 25 states have banned it. And
where
we
is
have
the
zero.
Enforcement?
And to go back to the gentleman there, the Maharashtra Pollution Control Board actually made a ban because they know, as Bittu says, they know that it has to be stopped at the manufacturing stage.
Yes.
To put the onus on citizens is a waste of time. All these campaigns, if it's not available, they won't use it. Simple. When we were growing up, we went with our own shopping bags.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is this big waffling and dithering about this thing? And as Bittu said, this is not yesterday. This has been going on for decades. It has to be implemented now on a war footing.
Yeah.
And there are countries all over the world, 15 countries in Africa have banned it. Banned it. Australia, 3 territories have banned it. Europe, England, Italy, Wales, Scotland, etc., Germany, they're taking stringent measures and heavily taxing plastic bags. Right? Bangladesh, our neighbor, has been quite successful in banning plastic bags. What is our delay? How can we have a Swachh Bharat program if we are, you know, these unhappy balloons are flying all over the place, choking drains and littering railway. If you sit in a train compartment and you're going, I'm seeing pigs eating plastic, cows eating plastic, goats eating plastic, you know. And it's all because we throw our garbage. And this is Swachh Bharat. How can you have Swachh Bharat without banning plastics? I can't understand that. I really cannot.
Absolutely.
We need to respond over here. How can you have, this is like making a mockery of this whole Swachh Bharat. And the PM doesn't have to promise this now. It's 4 years into Swachh Bharat 4 years into this government.
I think,
and you've worked also with railways. Railways are one of the biggest polluters.
So I'm proud of being a part of the CRS of the this thing, because we have implemented these crushers. You know, you voluntarily give the bottles to the crusher. You have heard about the new scheme, and you get paid back by that. So, you know, whenever you use a bottle in the railways, you crush it, you get paid for that. A. B. The disposable glasses which are used for tea and all are made up of sugar in this. But I would like to be fair to the gentleman sitting there in the plastic industry also. Let us take Indore's case, unlike what we did Simla. Indore has implemented the segregation at the doorstep. They segregate the thing and it's 100% segregated right now. There's one of the good cities which you can see it. And two, I think the alternative is what Mr. Gadkari suggested, making roads out of the plastic waste which has been collected. Yes. So the one which are to be landfilled or finally. So you know, this can be a because finally roads have been made by
India. India is not.
You have to be a little fair also. You cannot
India
just say that
a country
people
which
can just
implements
go and die
anything
themselves. So we have to be a little bit fair to the
no industry. Enforcement, so no implementation. So
yeah,
we have
ma'am,
to.
Ma'am, let me complete.
sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
So while we are moving away from plastic, we are trying to see alternate. As I said, it's a toll. So technology awareness legislation. Why? What we should do is also see how do we consume that plastic which is coming out. Roads are made out of tar. Tar is nothing but a petroleum product. So where we replace that thing, the longevity of the road will be high, the cost of road will be less, and anyway, we are paying it. And we can be fair to the current manufacturers till they move out of that. Once they stop total manufacturing, we'll stop making roads out of plastic. So we have to be little bit of adjustable, because they are also fellow
practical
Indians. We also have to see that they survive. You just can't kill those 40 lakh people who are there and their families.
So we have to be practical,
we are killing more people and animals.
We have a determination, madam, but 2000. See, the Prime Minister has a determination. Each of us have his. But for the same 40 lakhs brothers who we have, we can't just put them to gallows.
No, excuse me.
4 years, you see an alternate, and we will also do what? You know, we will consume the plastic waste.
Ban first,
how do you
that
consume
is the
plastic
point
waste?
Where do you start
by making
from,
roads?
Sir?
See, this example of this Gopal Zaveer, this fellow who is there, civilian, he has got nothing to do with politics and nothing to do with this government. He just took his friends, collected plastic out of the Dahisar River, and made benches in that Sanjay Gandhi National
Fine,
Park.
Sir,
now,
but
we all can do something
can
like that.
The difference, we can go across individuals.
But what is the role
of
impact that
can be made
by
government? Have to have a policy in place. Sonia, does the government have a policy in place? Mr. Singh here says there's no need to ban plastics. It's about the proper waste disposal. And I think he's right. There is there any waste disposal in India?
No, there is none. We've been fighting against. I'm sorry. Can I just say this?
Okay.
We have been, in our case, when we filed this case, one of the points, clauses of our petition was proper garbage disposal so that there is no interface between animals and garbage. Nothing. The same amount, the same methodology of disposing plastic, there's no segregation.
But how do we dispose of our plastic? Because we have the municipal corporations who are picking up this plastic, but then you hear of these mounds of plastic, mounds of garbage just being piled up, and when it rains, cars are being blown away off the streets. What is our, do we have a waste, how do we take care of our waste? Do we have any policy when it comes to that?
There is a plastic waste management rule 2006. In one of the main provision of the plastic waste management rule is that banning of polythene bag which is less than 50 microns. So from about 20, like everyone said, 25 states from India have more or less something, some policy regarding the single waste banning of single waste plastic.
Single use plastic.
Single use. But as far as implementation is concerned, it is very lax. I would like to say that if you see the generation of plastic, which is about 11.5 metric tons per annum, this is quite a lot, and about 43% of plastic product in India is single-use plastic.
43%?
Yes.
So if we tackle just single-use plastic, we could actually make a huge dent in the system.
It's between 35 and 43.
Definition is a question, because it can all be recycled into other plastics or feedstock or fuel.
No, but
currently
is that happening? Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's only our habits
tell me. According to research, there's 6.3 billion metric tons BMT of plastic waste generated in the world. Of this, only 9% has been recycled. I may be wrong, but I just want to know. 12% of this waste is incinerated. If you're incinerating or burning, it means there is going to be some fumes going into the atmosphere too. So that means about 80%, do the math, 79% of this plastic is going into our landfills, is going into our water table, is going into our marine life and in our own bodies.
Add here, you know, instead of incineration, we are doing pyrolysis or sophisticated incineration so that the fuel comes out of plastic, which is reusable. and it's all not wasted. And the gas is used out to burn this.
What is the percentage of plastic that's actually recycled?
Farah, may I intervene over here, because statements are being made that are inaccurate.
Go ahead, Mr. Sehgal. What is the percentage of plastic that's recycled?
I'm not talking of the quantum. I'm talking about the fact that you can turn plastic into fuel and things like this. These are not correct statements, because when you burn plastics, particularly if you've got any chlorinated compounds in them like polyvinyl chloride, well, they produce dioxins, they produce furans, and these are the ones which cause huge damage to all living things, including humans.
PVC is a very small part of plastic industry.
European
anyway.
Sperm counts to fall by 50%, and I've heard in conferences people joking, oh great, so India's sperm counts will fall, so the population will be under some control. That's the kind of flippant way in which these problems are dealt with. I'm seriously telling you, we're at the brink right now,
yes,
and it's about time all of us stopped fighting and started actually working towards a solution. And if I may just conclude again by saying that this is actually a women's movement, because men actually have no way of getting rid of persistent organic pollutants, but women do. It's called having a baby. So when you have your body burden of all these persistent organic pollutants in your body, you deliver a birth to a baby, 20% of your entire body burden is passed on to that 6-7 pound baby in the instant. Now, what are we doing to our next generation?
Exactly.
Correct.
I mean, this is our endocrine system, this is our immune system, this is our birth. What are we doing? I mean, surely we have to have.
I know, sir, you're very concerned.
So, can I just time for emergency measures?
Can I just say something?
So emergency measures,
no,
I I think very important.
And
when
I
we speak about emergency
I
measures,
just go across,
where do we start from? For example, what ma'am was saying about partial ban. I think we must start from these polythene bans initially. Maybe later we can jump on to all the plastic industry. But initially we have to start from there.
No.
I mean, actually, without a complete ban, there is no solution. Let that be very clear.
No solution without a complete ban.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the individual level and also at the larger level. I want to go across to Sean.
PVC.
And we have someone
even
here,
even PVC,
Monica Khanna Gulati.
But polythene we've done, sir. That is why I'm so...
When you look at a problem this large, this huge, a lot of people say, you know, what can I do? What difference can I make? I'm just an individual. What would you say?
Well, I have been working at an individual level, because I think it's the individual first who makes a choice, what they want to use and how they want to consume. We are the consumers. So somewhere we can really make an intelligent choice. And whether it's everybody's spoken about the bags and the cutlery and the spoons, and here I'd like to touch something which is very personal to a woman, which is like a sanitary pad. It's like equivalent to 5 plastic bags. And very often you see cows munching on sanitary pads. You go to a hill station, they're lined with plastic, with sanitary pads. And there's nothing you can do about it, because this is something none of the municipalities or none of the, you know, we work with the municipality as well at our, at our local in Gurgaon. And we see the kind of problem that is emerging with this kind of pollutant. Which I think, and then the government is going ahead and giving subsidies to sanitary pad makers and saying like, hey, just put it in a plastic bag and sell it to people, and then you're sort of, you can just shut eye. No, but
and
then
each pad is individually wrapped.
Yeah,
like
you
nowadays
see,
biscuits, everything's individually
absolutely.
Wrapped.
Absolutely. Though I must quickly speak about an alternative. You know, there are alternatives which are like, you know, they've got bamboo fiber in it. Or they have, just cloth in it. So they're just so easy to use and,
But the same for diapers, right?
Absolutely.
It's just for
cloth
mothers,
diapers.
It's more convenient. So what do you, who's going to make that choice?
It's
convenience today versus the long-term impact on
it's
your
we
life.
It's we the people, and I think we have to feel empowered to say no. There is this whole nexus of, the politicians I can't touch, the administration I can barely reach no matter how much I shout and cry. I can stand at their door, ask for the appointments, make meetings, have long meetings. We have long minutes of meetings of what should be done. But then implementation is rather slack. But then at the end of the day, I think we the people, I love the title of this show, because we have the power to make a choice. And I think I'm also an educator, so I teach in a design school. So very often I teach the kids to think about sustainable options for, design when they're working on packaging, when they're thinking of design products. The other, you know, why aren't we talking to the design community of this country when they are looking at, why aren't we empowering them to sort of, giving them more incentives to look and create and broadcast more sustainable materials which go out in the industry.
Which is also more, so is it, like for example, let's say you take the example of sanitary towels, right?
Yeah.
The poor don't have access to them, women, they don't. And the rich can perhaps go in for these alternative sources if they choose. But is it the middle class then who is to blame? Would you like to respond over here? The middle class, the lower middle class who don't have access to that much money, who don't want to spend more on these alternative sources, and where really it's just more convenient for us?
It's also about the awareness at their level. We have materials, we have things like menstrual cups now, we have things like tampons, but there's no awareness about it. What she showed right now, a sanitary napkin made out of cloth. We know that in rural areas there are women who are using clothes as an alternative.
Absolutely, that is traditionally it
yes,
has been the way to.
That's what they have been doing. They wash it, they rewash it, and they reuse it. Yeah. So that's what they have been doing. But our marketing strategy, that moving towards sanitary napkins which come wrapped in plastics, in layers of plastic, which means it means that we are moving towards a country which is just producing waste. We are not thinking about recycling. We are not thinking about more sustainable materials.
Okay, so that's at the individual level. Yeah. But let's go across. You know, Sean, come in over here. There's also a lot of questions that have to be asked of companies, multinational sector. When is it time for them to step up to the plate and see what kind of a difference they can make? Adidas has decided to go in for using recycled plastic from our oceans because there's so much of plastic in there for shoes. Why?
Correct. Thank you, Sarah. So Adidas has joined forces with Parley, and Parley is an organization and also a network space where creators, thinkers and leaders get together to bring attention and awareness to the fragility and the beauty of the oceans, because we've all been discussing what we can see on the land and it's very, very visible, but 70% of the world is made up by the oceans, and trust me, we've been down at Vasova Beach and down at Mumbai, and if you see the beaches there and what's getting washed up by the oceans every single day, there's even more plastic and even more pollution there that we're not aware of, that we're not seeing. So together with Parley, Adidas is now committed to preserving this delicate ecosystem of the ocean.
Well, why is this corporate social responsibility?
Yes,
there has
absolutely
to be something altruistic about it, right? Has the government give you any incentives to do
no.
this?
No, it's
Why
our responsibility.
Are you doing this yourself?
It's
you
our
don't
responsibility. But we do. I think every corporate organization has some responsibility. We've got commercial interest in the world, and we most certainly have to give back to the world, and we've got to make the world a better place for future generations. There's no two ways about that. So what we've done, and Parley has a strategy called AIR, which is avoid. And Monica spoke about that. That's about making choices. Can we cut plastic out of our lives one bit at a time? I mean, just cutting plastic bottles out of your life. So
like
you can do that.
Like you have. I'd like
Absolutely.
To point out that yes.
so
Sean and Sonia are the only ones who brought their own water bottles.
Let me remove
Thank
some
you.
Bottles here.
So
yes, and we have... And Monica too yeah. has brought her own water bottle. Fantastic. Yeah. They're walking the talk.
Can I just...
Let him then... you know, Sean,
on the
sorry to put
issue,
you on
yeah.
the spot, but you know, if you could perhaps for a moment represent multinationals, large-scale organizations, we talk so much about Amazon. Every time you order something, and e-commerce is the way of the future, but we're going into a system where we're just spending so much on plastic. Every time you order one small shampoo... Sure. On Amazon, it comes wrapped in so much plastic. Like even Adidas, I don't know what their packaging. Do you look into your packaging and how much you're spending on packaging?
Absolutely. So in our own retail stores, we've cut out plastic bags a long time ago. So we only have paper bags in all of our retail stores now. We've removed...
And is the consumer paying a higher price because
no,
of that?
No. We absorb that. And we've removed all single-use plastic out of our organization. So you will not find one Adidas office in the world that has plastic bottles or single-use plastic in the organization. We're cutting out micro beads out of our manufacturing, and we're making a commitment to reduce and have no virgin plastics in our facilities going forward. So I think really...
Okay. And yeah. last, we have to go in for a short break. Do you think companies should be held responsible? Should there be financial punitive fines? Greenpeace has suggested that big companies, because you're polluting much more than, let's say, individuals are on a on their individual basis.
Absolutely. We need You'd to be open accountable. To that. We need to be accountable. We need to be environmentally conscious and progressive and make a difference.
We have to go in for a really quick break again.
Just a second.
We have to go in for a break. We'll be back after that. Okay. Let's quickly go in for a break and come back on the other side. Welcome back. We're asking whether we can live in a world without plastics. Well, if you're in Delhi and you like to go out to restaurants, you've probably noticed off late you're getting paper straws instead of plastic straws in a lot of restaurants. And we have this young gentleman here actually to thank for it. This is Aditya Mukherjee. You started a campaign to try and get people to stop using plastic straws. Why?
Because plastics is single-use plastic, something that is actually causing the deterioration of this environment. We can't afford to lose this only planet humanity has known since the beginning of time. We have to try and save it. So even if people can start to stop using 10,000, 20,000 plastic straws, it'll be good for the future.
It makes a big difference because plastic straws are one of the largest top 10 pollutants of marine plastic pollution?
Yes.
Can we use, it takes what, a few minutes to make one, use it for about 10 minutes and then it lasts forever?
Yeah.
And most of it is dumped in the oceans?
Landfills and oceans.
Okay. So what are the reactions you've gotten from your friends, for example? Because teenagers, you all like to have your Cokes and Pepsis and whatnot and you have to have it from a straw, I'm guessing.
Teenagers are like, we'll use anything that we are given. We really don't care. The teenagers just want to drink the liquid. They don't want to see what is they're using it from. I tell them to just use a glass. They're like, it's inconvenient. The straw is easier for them to use.
So what do you say then?
I say that we should try and look towards the future, not for the moment right then. Because that straw will only last for 10 minutes of happiness.
Consumer, the customer is saying that it is inconvenient. Why have restaurants agreed to your suggestion?
Because restaurants are wanting to stop using these straws and wanting to stop using this as they're also environmentally conscious. Customers are also agreeing, but not generally the teenagers. The adults are accepting this change faster.
Okay, so maybe we'll reach a stage where you do it hotels where they say, you know, if you want your sheets changed, if you want your towels changed. So maybe at restaurants, they'll ask if you want a straw, do you not want a straw? At least that option is there. Amrinder Singh Arora, you also are involved with the plastic industry. Yes. What is your response?
I would say plastic is an innovation. And today, using plastics and it's getting a bad name. I'm really surprised when I go to some developed countries like Europe, America. America once banned plastic, but after doing some research, they again started up. I think all reports are there online. You can all check it out. And another thing, with plastic, what we can do is we can reuse it, we can recycle it, or we can refuse it. Like if somebody doesn't like plastic and they're very much environmental conscious, they can refuse it. Today, the child effort is very nice. Like, he's educating people not to use it. Yes, when we'll not use it, you'll not throw it. But another thing is, we also can't throw it. Like, we should not throw it. It's a basic human littering nature. We should stop doing it.
No, like, but you're putting the onus then. You're with the industry. You're putting the onus on the consumer. The consumer should say no. You know what the...
If consumer willfully understands it, so much hazardous, it should say no.
But the industry also knows it's hazardous.
Industry should know better than us.
Sir, I would like to say...
Better than the consumer.
Sir, I would like to say one thing. If we talk about cows eating the wet waste and we drink that milk, is it healthy?
Absolutely not. That's why I'm vegan.
So, in Waste Management 2016, there is responsibility of local bodies, which clearly states...
I will come to that.
Clearly states segregation, storage and handling. There are technology... In all around the world in developed nation, let's not talk about Bangladesh and Kenya. Let's talk about America, Europe. We want to get
America
one step.
America has not banned plastic, but Europe is.
Ma'am,
getting,
they banned it they once. Do, they banned it once, but with the research study, they just, you know, read.
Okay, so we're comparing ourselves with nations where they have recycling, where they have ways of waste management, but we are unique. Bittu, we are down to the last minute. Yeah, please give the closing argument on the show tonight. This gentleman says here plastics are an innovation. He is upset that plastics are getting a bad name. And he says the blame should actually be put at waste management. And authority should be focusing on that, not putting the blame on plastics. Closing arguments for the evening. Bittu.
Well, that's like saying that, look, I'll pollute your air. It's about time you got yourself a purifier. I don't think you can ask the consumer to do this. If you want a very, very quick analogy, here is what happens. There's a bathtub that's overflowing. The man in the house is taking the bucket and pouring it into the drain. And he's pouring it into the drain until his wife comes and switches off the tap.
All right, but you thanks for explaining. Sometimes you have to speak in the most simplest terms to understand. But I think we're out of time. All we have to say is it is no longer, this is, we're in an emergency situation. We need to take some drastic steps. And we all have to start with ourselves in our own homes. Let's start today. Thank you and good night. Thank you.